Tonight, we're putting on our dancing shoes, hailing a cab, and heading into the bright lights of the French countryside to visit the last nook.
God.
Roughly translated, the last knock.
We just lost France, man. We just lost every French fan we have.
That sounds like the next Gerard Butler film, Bill. France Has Fallen. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. I hope not. But anyway. Oh my God.
S'il vous plaît.
Oh, no. Not no s'il vous plaît. You don't want that, man.
Oh. In any case, tonight we are discussing Gaspar Noé's most recent film, Climax.
Yay.
I don't know what we're going to get into with this episode.
I was shocked, Johnny, when you said, hey, let's do a show on Climax. I'm like, what? What the hell is that? It's not a horror. Well, yes, it is. And you were right.
Well, for the time being, IMDb has it listed as what? Drama, horror, and dance, I think.
Yeah, they should have fantasy, too. Freaking. All right. And you wanted to do this show because you had an inkling. Because I had said something about it, and you were like, we're doing a show on that!
Yeah, and because we've gotten much positive feedback about our negative shows in the past, I was like, I sort of pounced on this like my cat pounces on her tennis ball that she plays with.
Wow. No, people like it when we fight, Johnny.
Yeah, I know, Bill. So yeah, let's. I'm rolling up my sleeves right now. I'm going to see you on Dance Dance Revolution, man. We're going to go at it.
You're going down, Johnny. You're going down.
It's the FP. Yeah. Oh, but I guess we can start off with how did you find out about this film, Bill? I know both of us.
I think it was you.
Seriously?
I think you had told me, hey, did you hear Gaspar Noé's got a new movie out? I'm like, oh my God. And that was it for me. And then I saw it, and I was saying, oh my God, in a different way.
Well, here's the thing, Bill. I feel like the two of us maybe kind of casually follow his career because of maybe more so one of the films he's done that we're both, I think, huge fans of is Irreversible from the early 2000s.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's a 5-star film for me. I know, I'm sure people heard of its reputation. It was it premiered at Cannes Film Festival in France. People booed and walked out. He was threatened by many a man that they were going to kick his ass outside because of a particular scene that is insanely intense and disturbing.
Yeah.
Yet women came up to him and thanked him. And brilliant storytelling, the way it's told. I don't want to give anything away, but the ending of the film is it's actually a kick in the balls in a way. And it's just so, it was so smart, so intelligent, and gripping. I don't know, though. I think he might have blown his load. I don't know if he could do something like that again.
It's a really visceral film.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's a word I was going to use, but I didn't get to there. But no, you're right, man.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a common critique of that film is that the people who aren't detractors of it, I think it's just like you can't watch it very often because it takes you on that full experience and you feel as pummeled and as beaten and as violated as the characters in that film by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen it like a few times, and I haven't watched it in like the last 5-6 years because it's like, you know, just too heavy. And like Martyrs, like that's too heavy right now. Like you're sitting on a shelf for a while. And you know, and I think that's the set where, because Monica Bellucci is in it, you know, and she stars, and with Vince Cassell, and I think that's where they met and fell in love.
Well, I think they were a couple.
They were a couple before that. Okay, I'm sorry.
When they were cast, because I remember some trivia about how Gaspar Noé wanted them to have actual unsimulated sex on screen and they put the kibosh on it.
Ah, okay.
But I think they were a couple at, prior to shooting, so.
Yeah, and some brilliant special effects in there.
Well, it's stuff that you can't even, I couldn't even tell until I watched the little featurette on the DVD where it's like that it goes through all the compositing and everything of what was fake. And I'm like, man, you fooled the hell out of me. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the one, I'm not giving anything away, where the camera goes through a glass window and comes back out of it again, and it's like, what does happen, man? That was so wild.
Oh yeah, and it's like to the point where you almost don't notice it because you're so wrapped up.
In the
It
story, yeah.
it's such a kinetic story because it takes place. Well, it doesn't take the main action takes place over the course of one fateful night.
Yeah.
But then it kind of, yeah. Like I said, it's been probably as long since I've watched it as well, Bill. But what of his other films, like that he's done since Irreversible? I know I've seen, actually, outside of Climax, the only one I might have seen was Enter the Void. Have you seen that one, or
Yeah.
Love, for that matter?
No, I haven't seen Love yet. I did enjoy Enter the Void in some ways. Some of it's extremely memorable, some of it is not. It is a little bit long-winded and a little bit I like the philosophy behind it. I like his vision of what happens when we enter the void. I thought some of the acting was really fantastic. But just like, again, like something with, while I'm watching this movie, I'm Climax, I'm thinking he did some similar things with music and Enter the Void, and that was long-winded and unnecessary then for me. So I was so I entered a void in a couple of spots. It's like, oh, I need to hit the fast forward here, man. And there's no fucking point.
I watched I wasn't a big fan of Enter the Void, honestly. I think part of it was because it just seemed to just wander for so long.
Yeah. I'm
Hang
wondering.
on, the void is calling.
It's Gaspar Noé going, "You guys suck. I hate you."
Mon Dieu.
That's it. No, I was wondering if like, is he a raver or something? Is he in the raves? Is he in a like, like, 'cause like I think he's tripping a little bit when he's doing some of those scenes.
I don't know. I actually don't. I haven't read like really interviews with him or seen interviews with him. I would imagine that he is somewhat, or at least at one time, has been sort of a keyed into that culture.
Yeah, he just looks it. He
Because
looks
you
like a
see,
DJ, man. He does. He looks like he should be spinning.
it'll be DJ No Way, only it'll be NOWAY.
Enter my void, bitch.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Blow your load, blow your load, blow your motherfucking load. Yeah.
Holy shit, Johnny.
That'd be something like that.
Yeah, well, right now we're like a Gaspar Noé film that's off the rails, so.
But I was just curious as to the extent that you'd followed, his career, or if it was really mostly just Irreversible.
No, I mean, one of the things that he does consistently, great lighting, or interesting lighting, camera angles, using the camera as a really interesting tool. So I enjoy the cinematography. Putting actors in situations that aren't the norm. So I think it's interesting. I don't know what he's telling them to do or how they're feeling their part, but it's great to see their reactions a lot of times. And then we get the climax.
Well, Bill, tell me, what did you have any preconceived notions before you popped the disc in? Did you have were you trying to keep your head clear for the experience? I'm not sure how much you knew about the movie
I knew
going in,
zero.
because I know you like to just try to go in clean, go in without knowing anything about it.
And that's exactly what I did. I went in very clean and didn't know anything about it. I just knew it was a Gaspar Noé picture. And I just hoped, I was like, I hope he's not going backwards. I hope this isn't worse than Enter the Void. And guess what happened, Johnny?
You know, Bill, I suppose I kind of had a similar mentality. I mostly, I probably read a few snippets here and there of, you know, people maybe commenting on Letterboxd or whatever about the movie. I did see that it had a, well, I mean, take it for what it's worth, a fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So I was kind of cautiously kind of optimistic. But I think there was something I'd heard about the somehow I'd gotten the impression that it was like one room, one shot kind of thing. And I was like, how's he gonna do this? So I was kind of, I kind of had my doubts about like, how can you maintain interest for 90 minutes? You know, some directors can. I mean, look at 12 Angry Men. That, granted, that's not one, it's not one unbroken shot, but you know, that's one room.
Yeah, it's one room, 12 people, and the camera is active and the dialogue's got to be sharp or it's not going to work.
Right. So you forget you're like trapped in a hot room with all those sweaty jurors when the air conditioning is not working. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they get up and move around, and at one point they leave the room, and they go to the, some go to the bathroom and all that crap. But it's, yeah, normally with the picture, you know, you want to keep the camera moving, keep things changing a little bit, keep so people don't fall into these doldrums. So it can work. I mean, Man from Earth, is to me the best damn example. That movie's just fantastic because it's just a bunch of people in one room talking, and it works. It works because it's intelligent, it's gripping, and you give a damn about the characters, and that's it. You don't, you know, because normally you don't want a bunch of talking heads. Like, what the hell's that?
No, no. I mean, that's a really good example, Bill. And I think, I know we mentioned that one periodically on the show, but I think it can't be mentioned enough because I think that's a film that actually earns the descriptor underrated.
Severely.
It is a film more people should check out to see kind of the possibilities of what you can do with just like a simple setting and a bunch of characters in a room.
Yeah and see Tony Todd give an amazing performance in a non-horror picture.
I think
horror fans would dig it.
Yeah, he's great. He's definitely phenomenal. So
all right, here we go, John, bring it. Let's go, let's get it.
So what do you want? So I'll just give you and say right now, and I know you know I feel this way, I fucking love this movie, Bill.
I know you did, Johnny, and I'm like, I've been thinking not why I hate the movie, but why would you love it? So
what do you, well, you tell me then, what do you think? What do you think I think?
Oh, man, I don't know, because I'm thinking, I'm looking at all these vapid characters, these shallow little shitheads, who have no loyalty to each other as friends because they're all just fucking hanging out. And they could turn on each other on an absolute dime for seemingly no reason. Mm-hmm. There was only one or two characters I cared about. The rest, they all could have been murdered and I would have been good, you know. And, you know, it was just annoying. It was like being stabbed slowly in the spine. It was just, I don't even know what the fuck that means, but I had to hit the fast forward button through so much because I was just annoyed to death.
Well, Bill,
tedious.
Let me pull something out here.
What? Oh my god!
Because I'm happy to see you
again.
You know, on this show, we've both talked about films that feature characters who aren't necessarily likable, yet the movies themselves are good. I'm trying to think of an example. You could go back to Martyrs, even at least the first half of Martyrs, where those characters aren't really likable.
I'm not talking about you know, I love movies with unlikable characters, but they have to have some depth and merit and,
Okay.
you know, something for me to hang on. These kids were just like, they were like, you know, they have brains in their heads. Like, you know, I've hung out with French teenagers before and they're freaking amazing. And it's like these are like the least amazing French kids I've ever seen in my life. And
Go ahead.
I just wanted to beat the shit out of people watching this movie.
So is what you're getting at, Bill, is that so climax you feel is a bit shallow and not the characters are shallow, not an accurate reflection of potentially actual people who would be in that situation. It's more Gaspar Noé kind of taking the piss with the
Well,
characters.
that's the thing that bothered me. The characters really didn't differentiate from each other enough for me. Like, yeah, same age group and all, you're gonna have the same, you know, you're gonna have like a certain foundation, which is great. But they were all like, you know, just a bunch of douchebags. And it was like, you know, except for like a couple, like I said, a couple of characters. I'm like, oh, I could, all right, she's cool, and everybody else is just an idiot. And I don't know. I don't
Well,
know.
is this okay, Bill? Maybe let's do some table setting
Oh,
with the
crap.
with the quote unquote plot, as it were.
Yeah, go ahead, Johnny. Tell it, because I have to figure out how to frig on this planet you like this movie.
Because the plot is essentially it's a dance troupe. They're practicing in this looks like some kind of old theater space. And okay, it's a huge epic sequence that starts the film, which I actually really enjoyed the choreography in this movie. That's something I did like about it a lot. But after the characters kind of settle down and cool off from this, you know, intensely involved routine they've done, they hit the craft service table or whatever it is, get some food, take some punch from the punch bowl, but oh, somebody stuck something nasty in the punch bowl that starts to cause some really terrible things to happen and people to kind of revert to some sort of savage state, which sort of frames the rest of the film.
But it wasn't really a savage state. It was almost like, eh, you know. It just seemed too. It just seemed so light.
I would say in terms of civil society, it was I don't know. The behavior was deviant or whatever. If some Jehovah's Witness were to walk in there and take a look at what was going on.
Yeah, but like if I was at a club and like this was happening, I'd be like, what a bunch of douchebags, and I would have left. You know what I mean? I would have been like, you know, it wasn't like, holy crap, we gotta run for our lives. Like it wouldn't have been like, it's the rage virus. Like it wasn't, you know, it wasn't anything overt. It wasn't anything intense. It was just like, oh, this is weird. Okay, whatever, man. You know, like my hedgehog went on a rampage or something. Like what the hell's that?
Well, maybe here's something, Bill.
This is, are you trying to save me, Johnny?
No, I'm not trying to save you. I'm trying to
Help me achieve climax.
No, I don't need any help to do that, you know. It's
Wow, okay.
But the thing of it is, I think a big part of this movie for me, in addition to the stuff that I loved about it, like the choreography, I think I was expecting some, with my perception going into it, I was thinking it was just going to be some half-assed handheld camera stick it anywhere kind of thing, which is, you know, almost like a found footage maybe
Yeah.
sort of thing, which I was kind of dreading because I sometimes think that aesthetic is used really lazily
Oh, yeah.
in a lot of films that don't know how to use that properly. So I was glad it wasn't that. But I felt like there was a lot that went into the choreography to create what I felt was a very propulsive experience. I'm not sure. There are cuts in the film. There's got to be cuts. They couldn't have done that main sequence in the studio in a single take. The
Nah,
film
it
was,
wasn't a single take movie.
yeah, they had to have cut at certain places.
I could have sworn they did.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's that whole introductory sequence that's done in a static shot of audition tapes that you're watching on a TV.
Oh, that went on for fucking ever.
Well, in all honesty, I was kind of like, with that. For
Yeah.
me, that was actually probably the weakest part of the film, and the part for me where I felt Gaspar Noé was kind of like wanking in our faces a bit, because this old TV and it's videotape, because you can see the static line on the audition tapes and the
Yeah.
tracking. And then to each side of the TV are these like big box VHS tapes that look like they're from a bygone era. And
Yeah.
what do you have? Oh, foreshadowing. There's a copy of Suspiria. Oh, more foreshadowing. There's a
Yeah.
copy of Possession a little further up.
Yeah. I noticed that and I'm like, oh.
And there was some other stuff. There was like a Fritz Lang thing, I think, also some on one of the tapes. But I was like, that had me kind of on the offensive from the very start, because it's like
Right.
you're cycling through these characters. They're giving you these kind of
There's a lot of freaking characters, man.
there's a lot of characters, and during that part you can't keep them straight. You can't really get past the boilerplate that a lot of them are kind of slinging at the camera, because it's
Yeah.
like, oh, this is what a lot of people would probably say. It's like, oh, I want to achieve my dream or whatever, or something like that. And I think in hindsight, I think Noé is kind of like lulling us, not lulling us in, but kind of misleading us with that stretch of the film, kind of like, oh, here's what you think it's gonna be, and then it kind of settles into something else. And I kind of like that bit of that kind of miscue there.
Gotcha.
But obviously, you didn't like that introductory sequence either.
It went on for, it's like, come on, man. And I'm like, and these kids are talking, and it's like, I'm like, fuck you. I don't, like, what the hell, man? You know, it just reached this point where it's like, am I hearing the same person over and over again? And that, you know what I mean? And that's what, like, these were not idiosyncratic, distinctive characters by any means. It was just like they all fell into the same bucket of crud. Bucket of crud, my new band. We're bucket of crud! Bucket!
Bucket, 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 bucket of
Bucket!
crud, bucket of crud.
Bucket of crud.
Doing Death Clock there, yeah.
Rah, rah,
Well, what did you maybe go back a little bit further, Bill, because there's something before that part. And what did you think of the whole snowbound, quote unquote, introduction,
that I liked.
where we get the credits,
I'm
where we get that,
intrigued.
yeah.
I'm like, let's go. And then we stopped. We stopped a lot. We stopped. It looked like, you know, and the music's pumping later on, and it doesn't really matter. It's like being at a high school dance with a bunch of pinheads who are like too scared to like shake a leg or something. I was like, come
Well,
on.
so do you think some of the stylistic thing, not stylistic, I guess, structural things that Noé does, like putting the end credits at the beginning, quote unquote, of the movie, and then interrupting, like in the middle of the movie, there's a dance sequence in which
Oh God.
the actual opening credits roll over, like the names of the cast members, the names of the artists on the soundtrack, and then there's a couple of inner titles where with some I forget what the actual some philosophical
Yeah,
things to consider in context,
I'm
yeah.
like, come on, man. You know, just like freaking, I thought it came down to one of the things for me was bad storytelling. It was just like, what is this? You know, you just pulled this out of your ass, and then I'm looking at the thing for who's Sophia Boutella. You know, she gave that little thing. Oh, this is what it was like on set and all. And I adore her. I love her. She's amazing. And it was almost like there wasn't a script. What is this written by Gaspar Noé? Apparently, there was like no like. Hey, go ahead, do what you want, you know, kind of thing. We'll film it. We'll make a movie. Like, I like.
Well, Bill, I mean, for what it's worth, I think he's credited as the, I might have to double check this.
Writer.
I think he is credited as the writer on Irreversible, and that film was also heavily improvised from what I've heard. I mean, I know obviously a lot of that stuff you have to set up and.
Oh, hell yeah. Especially when you're doing it the way they did it.
Yeah, I feel like, but he probably just gave the actors an idea of what the scene was about and kind of let them just run with.
Yeah,
run with the emotion of the scene, kind of.
Yeah, it's the same with Paranormal Activity. You know, there isn't a script. You know, there's like, okay, in this scene, this is what's going to happen to you, and act like a couple. You know, and that, you know, worked for me, but it didn't work for other people. And
yeah,
you know, and I just saw a film where 40 minutes in they roll credits for the first time. They roll the opening credits, and I'm like, what the fuck? But they made the movie work, and I cannot remember the damn name of the film. Off the top of my head right now. I'm sorry about that. Crap. It was a no-budget...
Okay.
No-budget movie.
I feel like I saw something recently that kind of matches that description, but I can't remember.
Was it with the guy? How's that for... the guy and his weird friend?
Boy. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway... You know, there's ways to make anything work and ways not to work. You know, making movies is a formula. Traditionally from Hollywood, there's certain things that happen within the first 10 minutes, within the first half hour, at the half hour mark. Oh, man, this movie just really took off. Yes, because it's supposed to at that mark.
Right.
You know,
right.
We have plot points and all this shit. And it goes on and on and on. And is it great when people, like, throw that formula out the window? Absolutely. But you have to tell me a good story. Gaspar Noé told me an amazing story that blew my mind with Irreversible. With this one, he just made me want to, like, kill kids in their 20s. That was pretty much it. He was like, Gaspar, you want me to, like, bludgeon these kids? You want me to fly to France now, find this warehouse or whatever, and just crack these kids' skulls open? Like, what do you want? Except for the two that I like. One was obviously Sophia Boutella. You know,
Who was the other one, Bill? Was it the DJ?
No, he turned out to be an idiot too.
Well, I mean, almost everybody turned out to be an idiot.
No, yeah. In the opening sequence, that particular woman.
Which one? There were a bunch.
The one who was long dark hair.
Was she the one who was wearing sort of the, I don't know what you call it, the.
I'll whisper a hint to you so other people.
Wait, was she wearing a black dress as well?
No. Was she the one with the kid?
No.
Good, because she's an asshole. No, this is the one who there was, let's say at one point there were accusations thrust upon her, and she was sort of like, fuck it. I'll tell you after the show.
But that was the pregnant girl, I thought.
No, she wasn't pregnant. What? Yes, that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because she was the
You're
one who's
lying.
Being...
No, screw you, baby. And I'm like, what the fuck's going on with these people?
Yeah,
like, that's when I was like, get my baseball bat ready, man, and gonna call up Harley Quinn and take a plane to France. And Gaspar, where's this warehouse? Yeah, where are these people? Because they're making people of this age look bad across the Western Hemisphere.
Oh, Bill, you know what? Forget.
Forget what?
Forget James Gunn for Suicide Squad 2. Get Gaspar Noé to do Suicide Squad 2.
That
That's
I would
all
watch.
Yeah.
Because I'm not giving up on Gaspar, because he's got some really cool shit that he does. This movie just, like, if I had to pick his worst film, this is it from what I've seen.
Harley Quinn could beat people with a fire extinguisher.
And I want two Harley Quinns in that next movie. I want Margot Robbie and I want Samara Weaving.
Oh, she'd be perfect.
I want them both as dueling Harley Quinns that fall in love with each other.
It sounds like what you want, Bill. It sounds like what you want is Samara Weaving and Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn in a Russ Meyer film.
In a Bill Prystock film. That's what I want. Billy Crash presents.
Roger Corman is still making movies. Why don't they call him up to make these big budget? He could bring him in totally, like, about $298 million under budget, probably.
I want Gaspar Noé and Roger Corman to co-direct something, man.
Oh, yeah.
That would be insane. The movie was never made. They're both dead. Nobody really knows what happened in that room, but they're gone. I'm sorry. I can't tell you. I'm sorry. I'm out of control.
No, no, no. It's okay. I like these digressions, Bill.
Yeah, I'm glad you do.
Because something I like about Climax is the fact that, and I think I understand your points, characters not so likable.
I don't care about it. I'm sorry if I'm...
No, go ahead.
Not unlikable. I don't care if characters are unlikable. I care if there's something to them, if they have depth. But when they're all unlikable in the same way, you have a cult and you have a bunch of stupid people. And what the hell? What's the point? That's the way I'm looking at it.
Bill, did you think that maybe that is the point?
Yes, I did. And I'm like, still, I don't give a shit. More?
Okay.
All right, well, Johnny, you got to explain to me how you love this movie so I could figure out if I should actually give it a second whirl.
I think you need to get into my head, Bill, which, you know.
No, I don't want to go there.
Take that as an entendre, if you will. Yeah.
Oh, man. Dude, I got enough shit going on in my own head. I don't need somebody else's.
You know what? Being stuck in my head is a punishment I would wish on no person. I just got to put that out there. Let me do a little true confessions here.
Oh, Jesus Christmas.
Back when I was in my late teens, early 20s, I dabbled for a bit in the rave culture, in part because I had a friend who was really entrenched in it much more than I was. I was kind of a tourist for the most part, but we would go to these, you know, small clubs, or we go to these big parties, you know, mm-hmm. which had thousands of people in attendance. And it was just very much an experience. And I really, it's weird how you could whittle away the hours, like hours would just pass like nothing while you were at these events. It was just very immersive, kind of. You feel like you are heading on to going on to a different plane of consciousness, as corny and pretentious as that sounds.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm bringing a bit of that residual experience that I had, like, in my late teens and early 20s to Climax, because I'm always looking, you know, when I watch something that has like a weird dance sequence in it, I kind of tune into whether it's capturing kind of like, oh, I'm feeling kind of this surge of adrenaline or emotion or something, right, as I'm watching this. And it's kind of sweeping me along in a way that kind of harkens back to that, you know, those memories. And I always kind of have a bit of admiration for when I can sit in my living room, watch a movie, and have some effect like that come over me.
Mm-hmm.
So in a roundabout way, that's how I felt about Climax. I mean, in simplest terms, is that I felt that it took me on a trip, an experience, and it was all about kind of that in the moment sensation. And I really liked that about it. I liked how it captured that. And I felt and a lot of this is due to how Noé filmed the film. Mm-hmm. It's just the camera is following one person, like say Sofia Boutella at one moment. She's talking to another character, but then the camera switches to this other character when they walk away from Sofia Boutella and go someplace else. So we get a real feel for this bizarre location that they're at and kind of the nooks and crannies of it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like another thing that calls back to like the rave culture is the specific lighting, like you mentioned, the red room, which turns into like a scene, like Noé's kind of climactic apocalypse scene. But you also have kind of the nauseated neon green hallway that a lot of mm-hmm. characters walk down, and bad things happen down there. I just kind of like that. I could relate to that sensation of just kind of like, oh, I'm just wandering from place to place. I don't know how I got here. I'm just being kind of guided along by something else. In this case, it's the spiked Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And I really like that. I felt just totally into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized that this me relaying this personal experience is, you know, maybe someone will be listening to this and being like, oh yeah, I know what he's talking about. I'll give this a whirl and see if it does the same thing for me, but I could understand how someone else might be like, I'm not jiving with the rhythm of this thing. It's not my tempo. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But I mean, it worked really for me. I mean, as an experience, I loved it. Even though there was some unpleasantness that permeated the proceedings, you get the feeling that you're kind of stuck and you're kind of like, oh shit, it's snowy outside. Oh, we can't leave. Oh, we're paranoid. You know, it's like,
yeah,
everybody's turning on each other. I was going to ask you, Bill, how do you feel, if at all, that that climax ties into the horror genre?
Well, when you said it was a horror movie, I'm like, horrible, maybe, but horror. I'm like, how?
How do you think the geniuses at IMDb came up with that? Felt strongly enough about that to label it as at least a partial horror film.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Roger Corman before, because there was a movie. Oh my God, what was it? The Three Women Escape from Prison movie. Oh man, something. They escape in a swamp with a guy, and it's listed as a horror movie, and there is no horror about it. It's women.
Oh, is it called Swamp Women?
Yeah, though? Swamp Women. Jesus Christmas. Yeah. I'm like, this isn't a horror. It's not even close. And I'm like, did Roger Corman want it to be horror so he could get his horror fans into seats to get more money? Like, who determined it? The studio? The producers? Because, you know, I think they really dictate that on occasion, you know? And I don't think it's arbitrary. Although sometimes you look at something on IMDb and you look at Netflix and they're listed as two different things. And it's like,
right. All
right, so what's what here, you know?
Right.
I didn't think it was a horror movie at all.
Okay, like what would you have, besides a horrible movie, Bill, what would you have, how would you categorize Climax?
Fantasy, fantasy dance, just, I don't know, I'm sorry, man, I mean.
Tell us how you really feel, Bill, come on.
I mean, believe me, I wanted to get into this, you know, because it's like, I know Gaspar Noé's doing something different, which I appreciate, admire, respect, and love like you can't imagine. Because I'm sick of seeing the same old shit over and over again. But when you're showing me different shit, and it's shitty, well, what's the point?
Well, you know, something else I appreciated about the film, Bill, was the what did you think of the actual dancing and choreography on display in the film?
Well, I know only the first scene was choreographed.
Oh, okay.
And
all right.
And the cool thing is, and I don't think a lot of people realize this, but Gaspar Noé said it was the most peaceful set he worked on.
Oh, okay.
There were no drugs, no alcohol, because these are dancers. These are professional dancers. Most of them had never acted before. But they could dance, of course, which is acting in a way. And only the first scene was choreographed, and the rest was them embracing their own stuff. He gave them videos of people tripping on crack and acid and all this other stuff to give them an idea of how maybe they want to, you know, act in certain ways.
Okay.
From his 5-page script, that's what I found out it was, 5 pages. So, you know, I didn't mind a lot of the dancing. The only one that was really bizarro for me, and it's like, this is just, I don't know, when she's dancing down the aisle.
Okay.
I'm like, what, you're dancing down a corridor? Would you, like, this is like a scene out of a bad musical to me. And I'm like,
Are you talking about when Sophia Boutella's,
yeah,
she's by herself and she starts splaying herself across the room and everything?
Yes. I'm like, what the fuck? Come on.
I really like that, though.
I knew you were going to say that, Johnny. And it's okay for you to be wrong, man. It's okay.
Sure, Bill. Sure. Yeah.
No, like, what did you like about it? Because I was like, this is just silly to me. It just...
Again, I mean...
And I used to dance, man. I used to slam and freaking all that other shit. There's no clubs in Stroudsburg that play punk or anything, so it's like not like I can, like, you know, get in a pit.
You know, Bill, the only thing that's keeping me from giving this movie a better score is the fact that I was looking at that choreographed scene thinking, God damn, why was Bill not called to dance in that scene?
Get out of here. Dude,
he would have crushed it. Yeah.
Dude, I'm going to throw up on myself. Why did you like it, man? Besides Sophia Boutella being beautiful and engaging,
yes.
Why was that like, oh, this is great? Like, why?
No, I just felt like with everybody else, like everything is coming down, or, you know, unraveling. And I really think her freak out, and in addition to, I guess, the apt, you know, it's like Isabella Gianni doing her thing in the subway tunnel in Possession, which was probably Gaspar Noé's primary influence for making this movie, was that classic scene where Isabella Gianni smashes the eggs on the wall and does this freaky interpretive dance mm-hmm. for like 5 minutes in Possession. I mean, I could see it as a callback to that, but I felt like, again, it was sort of like this culmination of madness for the character. She's freaking out.
I get that, but
you don't, you know, what's going on inside her head. You don't really know, you know, and maybe I can understand how that could be seen as a shortcoming.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, man.
No, it worked for me. Yeah.
Good. I'm glad. Cause it's like, to me, it'd be like somebody breaking out in a song in a movie. It's like, oh my God, I'm freaking out. I'm going to break out and dance. It's like, what the hell's that? You know? And,
climax. That's what she said. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, by the way, the longest take in the film is the second half at 42 minutes.
Oh, is that a single take?
Yep. And received a lengthy, apparently, standing ovation at its premiere at the Cannes Film Festival. Cannes. Jeez, I said Cannes. What an idiot. Cannes Film Festival. And I'm like, was it packed with all the people he knows or friends or... I don't know.
I don't know whatever to think of the Cannes Film Festival.
Cannes is the best in the world because it's like it's open. It's not like Hollywood is a closed shop. Hey, we're gonna salute ourselves and masturbate.
No, that's true. Yeah.
Cannes Film Festival's open to everybody, to everything. They're open to accepting. Unique films as well as not so unique films, but they want solid storytelling. And that's what I've always admired. Watching a lot of movies that did well there, that won the Palme d'Or or anything else there. Mm-hmm. I haven't been disappointed. So.
Well, do you think, was the ovation after the movie?
No, it was when they rolled the credits at the end and the beginning of the film. No, I'm playing, man. No, they said when it was over, he got a standing ovation.
Do you think, Bill, because, you know, you definitely feel that this is diametrically opposed, like stylistically and from a character and story standpoint, from a irreversible, do you think it's because Climax dials it down a bit from there, and it's more approachable, I guess you could say, in a sense, than Irreversible was to people?
I don't know. You might be right, because I was wondering, is this like a big apology because people realize how brilliant Irreversible is, which it is to me. I think it's brilliant storytelling in many ways. Yeah. And
it's very raw.
You know, it was just like, you know, you're being appreciated now. I don't know, man. I really tried with this movie and I was just couldn't, man.
Well, I'm curious, Bill. at what point did you start with the fast forwarding of this movie? Did you make it at least through the opening dance sequence?
I made it through all of that. And then I just realized this movie was just like, hey, you put something in the punch. No, it was you. Ah, you know, it's like, what the fuck is going on, man? They're all this. Then an hour later, you did it. No, it was you. Ah, you know, like, what the fuck, man? She did it. No, it was her sister. Ah, you know, I'm like, what the? This is the whole movie. This is what I've been watching for an hour and a half. Like, what the fuck? And so then I reached that point where it's like, okay. All right, wait, look at that person. They have a long walk coming up. Let me hit the fast forward button because you're just going to walk and nothing's going to happen. Nothing did. Holy crap. You know, and it's like,
you know,
it just got me frustrated, man. I was just not happy.
No, I could tell. You're having a bad trip, Bill.
Yeah, Johnny Rave. All right.
I'm not gonna live that down, am I?
Oh, fuck no, man.
Well, I wanted to go back to the categorization of the film.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Because you need to explain. Because a lot of people, I haven't really heard a lot of people saying they like this film. I've heard a lot of people saying the usual, and I'm sure you heard it. It's just one long dance video. So, tell us, man. Tell us what we're missing.
Well, I think the way I would associate it with the horror genre,
Oh yeah, please. You got to answer this one for me.
is a matter of really of the location and the circumstances. It's this type of film, you change around a few things and you swap out zombies for people who are high off their minds. You got like a Night of the Living Dead style scenario, and I guess you could argue, Bill, that these are the real zombies here in the dance studio.
Hard to argue.
So that's kind of how I felt. Kind of how I felt that it's like, okay, we're obviously not really gonna get. We're not gonna leave this place.
Alive.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
And
not giving anything away, people. Trust me, it was a joke.
there's this sense of like, okay, there's no exit. It's snowing outside.
The weather outside is frightful. The indoors is frightful. What do you do?
Exactly. Find a room, lock the doors, and make out with somebody, apparently. But I liked,
I'm okay with that.
but there were other things, like I felt like there were some Poe-like things in this film. Sort of fears that people have that Poe kind of touched on. I'm thinking sort of even the Cask of Amontillado or the Premature Burial or something like that.
Right.
In that sequence where the mother,
Yeah, I know what you're
who
saying, yeah.
who's hot, who she's taking the punch, she's high off her mind. She's like, her kid's there. The kid takes a sip of the punch. So she's paranoid that the kid's gonna experience obviously some sort of adverse reaction that might be even worse than what the other people are going through. So she locks him in a room, like the electrical room.
I know, so
And
smart. It was like, so, way to go, mama.
are you really thinking rationally when your mind is not?
Then how could she lock the door, Johnny?
Well, she did lose the key, Bill.
I know, but how did she find a door to begin with? To select rationality?
Here's the thing, Bill. You can still, you're not a maniac. Come on, man.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what they even took.
They show you at the end, okay?
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot.
Which
Earlier.
is really the end, it's not the beginning. Yeah.
They took Johnny Numb Cider. That's what that was.
No, it was Banter's hard cider.
Oh, man. If that was Banner's Hard Cider, everybody would have fallen in love, man. They would have fallen in fucking love.
Think we need to reenact Climax Bill at Banter's hard cider.
Shit, I'm game.
Yeah. Call Sophia Boutelle. I'm sure she'll be game too.
Oh yeah, I'm sure she'll want to talk to me after this shit.
Well, Bill, what did you think? Because you said you liked her character, but did you like her character because she was the most sympathetic or most developed or
Well, she was the one who hung on to her humanity, her and that pregnant woman, they were the only ones, and the others were like totally lost in their own soup, man. And they were all shallow and all like, loyalties could change on a dime with someone just spewing shit. It was Jacques. What? Bastard, let's kill him. And a minute ago, they were like practically all having sex with Jacques because he's such a great guy. And it's like, what's going, what the frig, man? I just like, poor Jacques, And,
Well, what about, Bill, what about the scene or the sequence, I should say, where it's post-opening dance routine, everybody's gotten some food, everyone's gotten some punch, they're like in an upstairs room and people are just talking to each other, and Noe will just hang out with characters for a minute, listen to them back and forth, then do this like brief blinking, go to black, and then go to some other characters. What did you think of that sequence? I mean, I agree that their conversations were centered on very shallow things for the most part, like pettiness, kind of like, oh, backstabbing. He's going to backstab you. He's going to want to fuck. She wants to fuck her or him or whatever sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, that's what bothered me about it. There wasn't anything for me to go, ooh, that's interesting. I was just like, fuck this. You know, it was just like there was nothing. There wasn't substance. Because there were so many similarities that it just didn't warrant. It didn't even warrant to have what was he have 20 people in there that movie?
He could have
gotten away with 3. You know, I know that wouldn't have worked, but it's like focus on a few people or something. Just give me a little bit more meat. It was like having. Like, what are we doing? We're at this great restaurant. It's a French restaurant, and we're having broth. What the fuck is that? Like, I want to give me something. Give me some more. Dude, I wish I did drugs. It's like, oh, Clarence, okay, I'm gonna take some drugs. Maybe I'll like it. But
I don't know what to say, Bill. I think I should shut up.
No, you could say no. Johnny, really, you loved it. That's great. I'm glad you love it. I did not. But
well, I mean, it's like, again, it's that weird thing where it's almost like my endorsement is mostly for me, I guess you could say, cuz it's like, well, unless you're me, you might not like the movie.
But you know, the great ill-fated television show, because I don't know why they stopped this show. It was brilliant. Freaks and Geeks.
Yes.
Like that's the era in which I grew up. Like everything that they were doing in there, I was like either fighting against or trying to figure shit out or whatever. That I had to stop watching that show because it freaked me out because it just looked too real to me. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't like, oh, I'm going back down memory lane. Isn't this great? I'm like, fuck, I got to get out of here.
Yeah, there's some painful stuff in that show.
Yeah, there really is. And just, it was just weird. It was just weird to me. It was just, I don't know. Because on the one hand, it was brilliant, and it was too brilliant, if that makes any sense.
Well, it cut too close.
Yeah, it really did. And I, with certain films, I guess, there's some sentimentality that, you know, I could thrust upon it. But, still, it's like I could watch a movie and go, oh man, that part's so great, but if the whole movie doesn't work, it doesn't work for me. Or my god, that character's amazing, but it can't save the film. Or I remember when I saw that absolutely awful movie, The Happening, from M. Night Shyamalan,
which I haven't seen.
Johnny, it was the best looking worst film I'd ever seen. It was, the cinematography was fantastic. And it was shit. It was just so stupid and just anyway. So just because I love the cinematography doesn't mean I'm gonna go, oh, it's a great movie, you know, but no, I'm glad you connected with it in some way. I couldn't. I wish I could have, but I don't know, I guess because like I don't have patience for those people like that in my own life.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Bill, because I watched a very and you know this, I watched a very high profile movie last night called Midsommar. Which by the time this show comes out, will probably be out of theaters. But something with that movie is that I would say the characters in Climax, I was able to connect with more than the characters in Midsommar.
Oh, now I'm scared.
so this is
I'm scared, Johnny.
This is the angle I'm coming at, and I realize I hold a lot of unpopular opinions when it comes to certain films, and I'll be the first to admit that.
But so do I, man. I mean, you know, and so do we combined on occasionally. What do you mean Halloween wasn't the best movie of 2018? Because it, shit.
You know. I guarantee it's going to be the two most disappointing movies of 2020 when they release two of them next year.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
I'm throwing up now, Johnny.
Bill, would you rather watch Halloween 2018 again or Climax again?
I would rather watch Climax. I can't believe I said that.
Ha!
Oh, yeah. What, you got an edge by like a millimeter of a star or something on that?
This is what my girlfriend does when she's funny like this. She when she's like kind of sarcastically, it's like, oh, I got one. It's like her way of saying I got one over on you, but in a good-natured way, is pointing her finger and going ha at me.
I love it, man.
I love her.
I'm
So
glad you love her because she's awesome. I love her too, but not like that.
I know. I appreciate your discretion, Bill, and not
My
drinking this spiked punch. And
discretionary love. Oh man. Anyway,
it's a mutual discretionary love.
yeah. So, anything else to say about this thing, Johnny?
Bill, I shudder to think. I want to hear what you scored this movie.
I gave it an even. Let me check. Let me just double check before I screw this up. Because there was some merit in there with the cinematography, like I said. So, 1 star out of 5, a solid 1 star, not a half star, not a no star. I gave it a 1 star.
Okay, because the way you were talking about it, I was thinking it was.
A minus star.
No, I was like expecting an even negative 10 stars, maybe, or something like
No,
that.
believe me, I've seen worse films than this.
I give it a 4 out of 5.
I knew
Like I
that was
said,
coming.
I was really taken with it.
Good,
And
I'm glad it worked for you, man.
yeah,
I
if anything, it'll
guess.
be interesting to see if anybody listens to this show and is like, oh, okay.
Randy Braska, tell us. Paul J. Williams, tell us.
Please,
Vicky Spiegel.
tell us which one of us is right or wrong, or if we're both wrong.
Wow.
Oh man.
That's pretty heavy shit right there, man.
All about the climax, Bill.
Isn't it? Isn't it always?
Are we going to reach maximum pleasure with some scream outs now?
Okay, because this whole show ruined my orgasm, so.
I was gonna say you need to build it back
Come on, little buddy. We can do it.
Skipper.
Oh, yeah. All right. Here you go. Here's tonight's scream outs to wonderful souls that you could find on Twitter. Give you their Twitter handles, a little bit about them, all that fun stuff. The first one is a wonderful woman named Christy, and she goes by the handle Sea Monkey, MUNKEY 2. She's a reader, lover of good and bad horror movies, and a disco queen. Sometimes she draws. I'm only here for cartoons and horror. And she's out of Athens, Georgia. Digital Dark Lords, LLC, and their handle is Live Life Films, filmmaker and supporter of all other filmmakers around the world. And they're out of Denver, Colorado. And you could check them out at Digital Dark Lord on Vimeo.com. See what they've got going on. The Gore Lords tweets with a Z. And they're on Instagram. Gore Lords available on Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, Stay Haunted. And they support indie horror, they defend horror. And they're actually the Gore Lords Horror Podcast. Check them out. Amy J. Elizabeth, otherwise known as Visual L. Stimulus, with a capital S at the end and an underscore. Glad I saw that. Photographer, photojournalist, founder of Visual Stimulus, digital content raconteur. Musically lit, film lover, nonconformist, gamer, and all of that cool stuff. She's out of Chicago. You can find her stuff on Vimeo, of course, under Visual Stimulus. Christian Fletcher, otherwise known as C. Fletcher Novels, zombie horror and thriller writer churning out freaky scenarios. Author of Leftovers, Left Alone, Left on the Brink, and Left in the Cold. And you could find Christian Fletcher's work on Amazon. Taylor, TAYLAUR, Taylor Rose Robertson, and that's Taylor underscore Rose, writer, artist, Hufflepuff, geek, author of A Song of Memories, a Detective Milo Reed novel. And here we go on to Phantom Dark Dave, and that's Dave underscore Phantom, filmmaker and film lover, host of Dave's Pop Culture Podcast with co-host Jen Dreadful, sponsored by Troma Entertainment.
Ooh.
And yeah, so also love the Troma team there, all that cool stuff. And I have three more, Johnny, and then it's going to you. TBM, who are they? It's a she. It's the Bold Mom. Horror promotion, because they're the horror experts, or she is, or they are. I don't know. But we support both horror and the metal communities, and nothing goes together better than that, except for maybe chocolate and peanut butter.
Ooh.
Or chocolate and strawberries. Or,
or
I don't know.
Chocolate-covered potato chips, man.
Yes! Fucking A! I was asking for them yesterday.
Chocolate, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Just tag them for an RT, and they're into features and collaborations, books, films, podcasts, vloggers, and magazines. And go to the website, theboldmom.com. The wonderful, what a great soul this person is. VJ Roth _ author, writer of dark fiction and dark fantasy, into extreme horror, splatterpunk, comic book nerd, lover of horror and music, and he's a father, husband, and a weirdo. And he's out of Windsor, Ontario. And lastly, to me, the best climax of this show is Kaylee XXX23. Check her out on Twitter, and you will know exactly what I'm talking about. Johnny, take it away.
I got two tonight.
Got two diseases.
I'm sorry to hear that, Bill. I'll drive you to the freak clinic later.
The freak clinic? I'm going. Sorry, go ahead, man.
First one is Mark J. Blackman, who you can find on Twitter at Joker's Pack. He is the writer-director of the films Neon, Animus, Skin, and Facial. He's from London, England, and you can find him at mjblackman.com.
Awesome.
And he said some nice things about our recent show on Alien.
Oh, that's great. I hope he doesn't listen to this one.
Yeah. I was like, I apologize. Yeah. I apologize. We apologize.
Yeah, we apologize, but we're running the credits in reverse. Go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, kind of. And on that note, the other one is Doomed Movie-thon, at Doomed Movie-thon on Twitter. Movie binging loser, sorrowful podcaster. Hey, he's like us.
Yeah.
In the band Gyrojets and author of Giallo Meltdown, a movie-thon diary and cinema somnambulist. And you can find him at doomedmoviethon.com. He's a cool guy.
Awesome.
He's a connection I made, I believe. I'll give this scream out too, through I Am Gore Blimey's horror podcasters group on Facebook, and we love Gore as well.
Oh, we love Gore. Gore.
I hope Gore, who is a huge admirer of puns, found this episode enjoyable.
Oh no, he's making voodoo dolls of both of us, sticking in pins. We're done, man.
I feel like we've abused the hell out of puns on this episode.
No, I held back like you cannot even freaking imagine.
Oh, I'm sure you held back, Bill. Did you?
Fuck off. God. Oh, man.
We are scraping the specimen bottle of taste tonight, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was edging myself the whole time. The milking comes later.
I think I'm going to go have dinner, Bill. It might be a tossed salad. I'm not sure.
Oh, God, jeez. Just tell people where they could find you.
You can find me right here, like Bill. you can find my writing on CrashPalaceProductions.com because Bill's a sweetheart. And you can also find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Johnny Numb. There are no H's in those Jeannets. So, Billy.
Yes, here I am, Billy Crash. You could find me on Twitter at Crash Palace. Where the hell else, man? CrashPalaceProductions.com. That's like I took some of the punch. CrashPalaceProductions.com for links to this show and more. Of course, you could find the show on iTunes, among other places. And if you're into thriller novels and you want something different, something focusing on alternative lifestyles and all that cool stuff, then Bloodletting and Punishment are available on Amazon for free on Kindle Unlimited from my publisher, because she's nice like that. And just punch in the name Prystauk, PRYSTAUK, and my page will come up on Amazon, and shop away. It's also available at low-priced paperback. So,
yeah, and if you're cool like me, you can get that physical copy, and Billy will sign it for you if you're so lucky.
Yes, I will. I almost said I'll sign it in blood, but I stopped myself because I'm like, you said you'd do it. And you're like, shit.
I thought you signed mine in blood, Bill. Now I'm disappointed.
I signed it in urine.
You signed it in Odorama. That's great.
Odorama. Oh man, John Waters would be proud.
I was wondering why people have been staying away from me at work while I'm reading. So,
The book's a pisser.
but I wanted to say, Bill, I'm making progress on Punishment, and
Oh
I'm
my
really
gosh.
liking it. And I'm not just
Oh.
saying that because we do a podcast together.
Oh, I know you. I know you're honest, and I know you'll give me an honest chat later, and that'll probably help my third book, which I'm working on right now.
I'm really liking the storytelling, so
Oh.
I'm really happy with it. Yeah.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yep, no problem.
Awesome.
All right.
All right, enjoy, brother.
All right, you too,
Okay,
Bill.
bye.